Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to our board meeting. At this time, I turn it over to our president, Mr. David Malkin.
Good evening. It's July 23rd, 2020, and I call the regular board meeting of the Rolling Unified School District Board of Education to order. It is now 4:30. Dr. Mitchell, will you please call roll?
Sure. Donna Friedman?
Here.
Carrie Chen?
Here.
Lynn Ebenkamp?
Here.
Angelina Pride?
Present.
David Malkin.
Present.
All board members are present.
Can I have a motion to adopt the agenda of the regular board meeting of Thursday, July 23rd, 2020?
I'll move.
A second.
We have a first and a second. I will now, any discussion? I will now call roll for the vote. Ms. Friedman?
Yeah.
Mr. Chen?
Aye.
Ms. Ebenkamp?
Yes.
Ms. Pride?
Aye.
And it's yes for me too, so the motion carries. Dr. Mitchell, are there any comments on closed session items?
I'm going to defer to our moderator. Do we have any requests for closed session comments?
There are no closed session comments.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay, with no closed session comments, we will now recess to closed session at 4:32.
Thank you.
You want to log out and then log back in for a closed session? Okay, are we all set? I think we have everybody. Okay, good evening. We have returned to open session at 6:03. Let's have the flag salute. Ms. Ebenkamp, our board clerk, will lead us in the flag salute.
Please stand. It pleases me to lead the Pledge of Allegiance tonight because it means a lot to me to appreciate the freedoms and liberties that we have and are striving to make even better. So please join me as you pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ebenkamp. There is no closed session report tonight, so we'll go directly to item 4A, which is the superintendent's report. Dr. Mitchell.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Good evening, everyone. It's my superintendent's comments this evening are short because I'll be presenting and sharing the work that has taken place regarding our opening plan. But I just do want to thank the board, the employees, our students, parents, and community for their continued support and patience as we navigate and work through the opening of our school year. We are here to support and to serve our students and our community and look forward to doing so when our school year begins. Thank you.
Okay, next we'll receive a report from staff providing an update on the work of the 2020-2021 planning team as it relates to the school opening. I'm going to turn it back over to Dr. Mitchell again.
Let me get the presentation ready here. All right, so thank you very much. As we begin our planning, we are anxious and excited and to be very candid, a little nervous about our school year beginning. The first day with students will be Monday, August 10th. So this evening, the presentation is to share with the board an update on our learning plan for the 2020-21 school year. This is to provide the most up-to-date information that we have at this moment. This is part of multiple different presentations. As you'll recall, we did provide a presentation to the board at our last meeting where all of Cabinet was able to share different information. So we've got, this is our update. So I wanted just to remind everyone that how schools open and reopen is governed primarily by the local health authority through the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health. The California Department of Public Health also has protocols for schools that we are following. Your local county authority, health authority can be more strict or stringent or more defined than the state Department of Health, but not less so. So we do take into consideration looking at both documents to make sure that we are fully aware of the State Department of Public Health as well as County Department of Public Health. So the County Department of Public Health protocols are for opening of schools, are out, are published, and we have worked through all of them in terms of our preparation and ability to open our schools. Also, we've already shared this before in terms of Senate Bill 98, which is part of the California budget adoption. It's one of the trailer bills talking about the opening of schools. And it, specifically, the goal with Senate Bill 98 was to open schools in the 2021 school year with as much in-person or face-to-face instruction with students to the greatest extent possible when you have physical distancing. They did adjust the required instructional minutes. They did waive elementary PE minutes. The length of the school year and daily attendance for students was not waived. And then if there is a desire to change the instructional program to all distance learning, that must be mandated or required by the public health officer. So that is not, there isn't anything that is new or different or has changed from there. And that is part of our state law at this point. So again, we've talked in the past about our planning team and working with our planning team. And we as a planning team and then working further as a district know that we need to be prepared to go back and forth depending on what's happening with the state of the pandemic. So from being the most restrictive to where we are closed to where we are fully open and being able to weave back and forth between those two. So we do have a school opening continuum that has a learning plan for all stages in the continuum. Our learning options that we have are for blended learning, which is a hybrid plan where you have students, some students are learning at home while others are learning in the classroom. With physical distancing, approximately half of the number of students could be in a classroom at any given time. So we know that it would be a platform where some students are learning at home asynchronously while students are also engaged in live instruction at home and then being able to share or trade that time back and forth. We have a virtual classroom, which is all distance learning, and then independent study. So our educational services team, as well as other staff throughout the district have been working diligently on these three learning options to develop detailed schedules, timing, and the tools that would be needed to be successful in all three of these learning options. So as we look at the opening for the 2021 school year, the governor held his press conference on last Friday, the 17th of July. And within that press conference, it was shared that safe in-person school-based instruction will be based on the local health data. That masks will be a requirement. There were some minor adjustments to masks, but still masks are a requirement. Physical distancing and other adaptations required. Regular testing and dedicated contact tracing was a part that the governor had spoken about as well, with testing school employees for COVID-19 and having a dedicated contact tracing and having the state workforce prioritize schools in that contact tracing. And then having standards for very rigorous distance learning. Within that press conference, with the idea of safe in-person school will be based on local health data. Using the health data, schools can physically open when its county has been off the monitoring list for 14 consecutive days. And if our county does not meet that requirement, we must then have distance learning. So Los Angeles County has been on the monitoring list. Therefore, in compliance with Senate Bill 98, it is directed by the public health authority that we operate in an all distance learning fashion. So again, wanted to draw that last bullet here. So a change in an instructional program, different from the first bullet on this slide to the last bullet on this slide, has been mandated by the public health officer. And this is part of the California Department of Public Health because Los Angeles County has been on the monitoring list, continues to be on the monitoring list, and we would need to maintain in a distance learning format until we were not on that list for 14 consecutive days. So our learning option as we open the 2021 school year is in a virtual classroom setting. When we look at the virtual classroom setting, the model, why is it, again, want to just reiterate, what's the rationale for opening in the virtual classroom model? So there's a rise in COVID-19 cases in Los Angeles County. There was an order by the governor on July 13th to close indoor operations. And in that address that he had in that order, it did not talk about schools specifically. Schools were not mentioned at all, primarily because at the time our belief was schools were not open. There has also been conflicting and changing recommendations on how to best keep our students and staff safe. So from a local perspective, the rationale, that is our rationale for our virtual classroom model. That was validated, supported by the direction of the governor on July 17th, that counties who were on the monitoring list are unable to open with in-person instruction. And as I've shared, Los Angeles County falls into that category. So when we look deeply in terms of the learning plan for Roland Unified in the 2021 school year, opening in a virtual classroom setting, this is the recommended learning model for the opening of our school year. When we look at what does that look like, what kind of experience will our students have in the virtual classroom, how are we going to serve our students? There will be no in-person interaction. Students would not participate in any in-person instruction. Students are enrolled in virtual classrooms. They will need a device. They'll need regular access to reliable Wi-Fi. And they will learn with live instruction with their teachers, also utilizing platforms such as Google Classroom, Seesaw, and then through that Zoom through live instruction. The school day for a virtual classroom will closely mirror a traditional school day, requiring students to engage in daily live instruction through the use of technology. There will be full class instruction, there'll be small group instruction, there'll be individual instruction as determined by the teacher. Students are required to be in a setting that allows for learning as free as distraction as possible and dressed and ready for school. When we look at the virtual classroom as we plan to open, I want to draw the difference and distinction between the spring and the fall. So from March to June, we were in emergency distance learning. As we embark in the fall with a full virtual learning classroom model, we will have a focus on our essential standards, talking about depth versus breadth of our content. Also looking at the needs of our students and our teachers' judgment. Live instruction and interaction will take place not less than 1/3 of the learning time during the instructional day. Grading practices will resume according to our board policy and in alignment with the California Education Code. So our teachers and our students will have full grading practices back, which was not in place in that same fashion in the spring. There'll be a continued focus on relationships and social emotional well-being for our students. And then the virtual platforms will be Seesaw, Google Classroom, and Zoom. Will be used systemically throughout our organization, K-12, with some modifications based on grade levels. That was a piece that was clear to us when we worked with our parents, is the parents wanted to have as few possible platforms so that they could support and help their students or their children at home. However, there are so many opportunities for our teachers to be able to use technology as a tool to support and enhance instruction. And we have approved over 360 applications for teachers to draw upon to develop instruction. And those are still available to our teachers to use with our students. So it's not only Seesaw, Google Classroom, and Zoom. There are, again, the other approved applications. But the three that have been mentioned are the primary ones that we'll be using. When we look at what's being taught in our virtual classroom, so in elementary, the focus is on English language arts, math, science, social science, and English language development. In secondary, we'll follow a class period schedule on a modified time frame. Attendance will be taken daily. That is part of the requirement. Again, in Senate Bill 98, also reiterated when the governor spoke on the 17th, that attendance is taken daily. And students will receive both synchronous and asynchronous instruction. So there'll be live instruction with their teacher, with their peers in a classroom. And then there will also be independent or asynchronous instruction that happens. The daily schedule will include no less than 1/3 of the learning time in live synchronous instruction. That was something that has been shared by our parents and our students about really wanting to have that opportunity to engage with teachers and engage with classmates. And we know that in terms of the amount of time for live instruction, that the teachers have the ability to look at the blocks of time and what are the needs of students, but on a whole, 1/3 of the learning time being live. So that's the delivery of instruction, the conversation between teachers and students and students and students and so forth for the purposes of learning. And then student grades are issued by the teacher based on evidence of learning, again, in alignment with our current board policy and our education code. So this is a sample elementary virtual classroom schedule. And so you'll see that within the blocks of time, we've laid out how would learning structure, or how would we have morning routines, foundational skills, an English language arts block of time, math, ELD. Now, teachers have the ability to be able to structure their day within, maybe they would prefer to start with math, or maybe they would prefer to start with something, a different area or different content. So this is a sample of what it would look like. It also is not that all of these pieces are done live. There are 1/3 of the time is done live. And then there's also small group instruction, and there might be small group instruction within these particular blocks, as well as whole group instruction. So there is some flexibility and ability for teachers to use their judgment and do what they're best trained to do, and that's the art of teaching. We've also planned time that we know that this is a change and a shift for both our students, but also our teachers. And looking at on Wednesday, having a day for them to engage in staff meetings, professional development, planning, collaboration. Because of the component of daily live instruction, which is part of the Senate bill as well as was reiterated, we are looking at a brief teacher check-in with students at a point during the day on Wednesday. So teachers will do a brief check-in with students, making sure that they have access to their asynchronous learning and then be able to proceed with their learning while teachers are proceeding with their work of planning and developing lessons. The secondary level, based on a period schedule, this again is a sample of how class periods would rotate. So looking on Mondays and Thursdays, students would be engaged in periods 1, 3, and 5. And then that would be for their primary instruction. And then touching base with students on Mondays and Thursdays for brief afternoon synchronous connection, periods 2, 4, and 6. And then Tuesday, Friday, you would have the other periods for instruction and then for synchronous connection part in the afternoon. Again, Wednesday for teachers to be able to work together, plan, collaborate, develop their lessons, and do that brief check-in as well. So that is how we are planning to start our school year and work through. We are looking that could go for the entire semester. We are going to need to, of course, follow what Senate Bill 98 says and follow the direction of our local health authority. But we also know that we need to be able to plan, and we need to be able to prepare to deliver that high quality instruction that our teachers are always doing, and also looking to make sure that our students develop those routines and parents can plan as well. We have said that at the quarter, which is October 9th, we will reevaluate. And of course, we will continue to be assessing and evaluating the conversation around the ability to continue in a distance learning format based around Senate Bill 98. And where are we in terms of being on the monitoring list for Los Angeles County? At the point in which we are able to return to in-person instruction, the learning plan incorporates using a blended learning model. There are some parents who have provided us with their preference, and their preference would be to remain in an all distance learning format using our virtual classroom for a longer period of time. So that will be honored. There also are a number of parents that have said we would like to have our children back in school in a blended learning format. So when we are able to do so, the blended learning format would, although not offered at the beginning of the school year, we do look forward to the opportunity to have the return to in-person learning. That blended learning format, students would participate in in-person instruction at school and also engage in learning at home. Because physical distancing and so forth would naturally still be in place, there would be a smaller number of students in the classroom at any one time. When we look at blended learning, there is an interest from parents, students, and staff in returning to school in a blended model. There's an interest in a model that included an in-person instruction and connection with teachers and peers. There was a lot of conversation in when we worked with our students, as well as our parents and our staff, about the social and emotional well-being of our students and staff. And being together was a part that was really important to many people. But also when that happens, we need to focus on the safety of our students and staff as well. So bringing back together groups of people, knowing that there is an interest to do so, that it does meet some social emotional well-being pieces for students and staff, there needs to be a focus on safety for all as well. That we have, that was shared, that the planning team, that students are at the center and the primary focus of our decisions, but safety for students and staff is the number one priority. There's a collective commitment for high quality instruction and care with the maximum flexibility to meet the changing needs. So that again is that ability to go back and forth between learning plans as the situation may require. So in that blended learning model, so teaching and connecting with students through a combination of in-person and virtual or distance learning. So the focus on essential standards, again, these pieces are the same as in the distance learning or virtual classroom, that there will be a focus on essential standards. There would be live instruction and interaction for not less than a third of the time, because you do have students that are then in class and having live in-person instruction. Grading practices resume, a focus on relationships and social emotional well-being. And then because half of the time students are engaged in distance learning on a virtual platform, the use of those platforms will continue to be the same as in our virtual classroom or distance learning model. When you look at a blended learning schedule, these again is a sample, that students would be divided into two cohorts, an A cohort and a B cohort. 2 days a week, group A would be in school, in classrooms from 8:30 to 12:15. So half of the class would be there for 2 days of instruction in person, and then two afternoons online checking in and synchronous instruction as well. The half-time part of it is so that students would be dismissed for lunch and then they would go home and continue learning, so that we would be able to continue to have a full day of instruction. But lunch was a challenge in terms of how do you serve lunch and keep physical distancing and so forth. Then 2 days a week, group B would do the same. And then that Wednesday, again, was that opportunity for teacher planning and collaboration. And so in looking at this as a draft or a sample, again, a sample schedule, so you'd see that on Monday, for instance, group A, that cohort would be in the classroom. And then after lunch, they would be learning online. Group B during the day would be learning online, but then they would be having a virtual check-in with the teacher in the afternoon. And so then group A would be consistent on Monday and Tuesday. And then group B in person on Thursday and Friday. On Wednesday would be the opportunity again for that teacher planning and preparation, and with a check-in with students on that day as well for a quick check-in for teachers to make sure again students are prepared for their asynchronous learning. On the secondary side, it would be on a period schedule as well, in two groups, an A group or and a B group. Looking at in-person instruction for periods 1, 3, and 5 on day one, and 2, 4, and 6 on day two on Monday and Tuesday. And then having group B would be on campus on Thursday and Friday. Here's an illustration of what that may look like. Again, you have group A that is in person for periods 1, 3, and 5, and then learning online in the afternoon, while group B for 1, 3, and 5 is learning online during the day and then checking in with the teacher virtually in the afternoon. Then group A again comes back to school on Tuesday for periods 4, 5, and 6. And then group B has in-person instruction on Thursday and Friday. On Wednesday, everyone is learning online. So blended learning would occur at the time in which we are able to open our schools for in-person instruction. And at that point, we would be able to have the transition between a distance learning model in our virtual classroom and our blended classroom or blended learning model. The third option that our educational services team and our planning team has developed is an independent study model, which is for families and students that are in unique circumstances or situations that may not allow the student to engage in learning during the traditional school hours. And so in looking at that, it is for families and students who have extenuating circumstances, because it is, just as the title is, it's very independent. And so there would not be any in-person instruction. And the student interaction with the teacher is very limited. So the teacher would be checking with the student at approximately one time per week. So we have the three learning models that we are prepared to deliver. Again, opening our school year and working through our year, knowing that we will have our distance learning model through our virtual classroom. That is where we will begin on August 10th. And so wanted to come back again to the piece that the governor had talked about regarding some of the expectations. So the statewide, there are statewide requirements for rigorous distance learning, the access to devices and connectivity for all students, daily live interaction with teachers and with other students, challenging assignments equivalent to what would happen in in-person classes, and then adapted lessons for English language learners and special education students. So these are pulled directly from the press conference that the governor held on July 17th. And as a district, we are prepared to meet these pieces. So we are prepared for each student to have their own device. As it relates to connectivity for all students, we have a significant number of hotspots for our students to be able to use so that we can have connectivity for all students. We have surveyed students, and we believe that we have enough have done as much as we possibly can to secure many. We've also reached out to our other elected officials as well as community partners, making sure that they understand the need for connectivity for all students, because everybody needs to be online to be able to engage and participate in school in the virtual classroom model. We did ask our parents to provide preferences. What were the preferences our parents had for their children? We did hold four virtual parent meetings, explained with our parents to the best of our knowledge at that particular time, the learning models. 57% of our parents selected blended learning for their children, 39% the virtual classroom, and 4% independent study. There is the ability, now that we know that we're opening an all virtual classroom, we are going to reach back out to our parents after our school year begins and confirm the selection or the option that they had selected as their preference, and then have the ability to see if there needs to be any changes to what that preference is, so that we will be prepared at which time that we move to the opportunity or have the opportunity for a blended learning format. I did want to say, although it's not specifically our learning plan, I want to make sure that folks know that we do have in place part of our responsibility as well as having a COVID response team. And this is led by Dennis Bixler, our Assistant Superintendent of Human Resources. So the goal of that response team is containment, response, and having control plans, which includes a protocol for immediate steps to ensure that there's separation if anybody does test positive, is presumed positive, or has any symptoms consistent with COVID, the need to isolate, looking at contact tracing, and working with the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health. They've outlined very prescribed steps that need to be taken. And this is one of the pieces of having a COVID response team as a requirement of our local health authority, and working in partnership with them is also part of that expectation. We have also developed what our response will look like in terms of what the flowchart is, and how, who do our employees call, or how do we know whether or not action is needed or not action, or no action is needed. Should employees stay at work? Should not an employee stay at work? And so we have created a flowchart and have shared that. We have a handful of employees that have returned to work beginning on Monday. And so we did start our day with a meeting talking about health and safety, of which this was part of the conversation as well. So when we look at a few next steps, there are several next steps. So just a few to highlight here is really focusing on professional learning for our staff to refine and publish the professional learning that's available for staff as we embrace the virtual classroom. We know that our staff clearly knows how to teach. They understand both the art and the science to teaching. So how do we take those skills and make sure that we can be successful in that virtual classroom environment? And so that's where our focus is around professional learning. Device and material distribution for our students, looking at making sure that our students have what they need to be successful learning from home. And then a parent learning and communication as well. We know that our parents are priceless partners for us in this endeavor. And so reaching out and really helping our parents, so not only to understand the technical or technological aspects, but also understanding some of the learning pieces and how can they support their child's education in partnering with the schools and with the teachers. Also talking about that professional learning for staff is many of our classified employees' positions are changing and are looking different in the digital world. And so when we look at our virtual classroom, providing that professional learning for our classified staff as well, because some of their positions and responsibilities are changing when students are not present in our classrooms. I want to add, just recognizing there's always the potential for change, that our current situation continues to be fluid and many factors beyond our local control are at play. We do have weekly updates. I work with the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health. I have weekly updates with the director of public health, and we had one today. And so conversations around the needs for schools and how we partner together. So it is nice that that communication is now on an ongoing and regular basis, where it is a two-way conversation with Dr. Ferrer around the support that's needed within our schools to ensure the safety and health of our students and our staff. There are other potentials for change as well that, again, are beyond our control, and we are prepared and ready to respond to what comes forward, because we do have our plans in place with our learning models and our learning plan. So at that point, I want to say thank you. This is an item on the agenda for discussion as well as we talk about some of the work, but I can entertain questions at this time, and I'll turn it to you, Mr. Malkin.
I just want to ask, are we going to continue our hotline for the parents in the community?
Yes, we are going to continue the hotline. We do have a technology hotline. We also have a general parent hotline. We also have opened a technology email account for students, staff, and parents to be able to email if they have something that isn't something that needs a response quite quickly from the hotline number, where you call up during the work hours and reach out to somebody. But then also our main district switchboard is open now. So we're answering calls there, and our school sites are answering calls as well, because staff has returned.
Okay, does anybody else on the board have any questions? Mr. Chen? You're muted, Mr. Chen.
Since the county update the situation weekly, does that mean any time Los Angeles County may be out of the watch list, and the we can switch back to blended model when we're out of the watch list? Do you mean we are going to change to blended mode once the county out of the watch list, or we have the set ending time, stay at the virtual mode until whatever, October or December? What is our plan?
So our plan at this time is, it's the California Department of Public Health is monitoring that monitoring list. They're watching that monitoring list. And is when a county is off the monitoring list for 14 consecutive days is when they can then begin to entertain in-person instruction. And that's where we would begin to entertain moving to a blended model. it's naturally, it doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen, you know, immediately in that way. There is an expectation around Senate Bill 98 that our districts, all districts in the state of California, would provide in-person instruction to the greatest extent possible, taking into consideration physical distancing and so forth. So with that, it's a delicate balance. So as a district, we are planning for virtual classroom through the end of the semester. There may be the need to return to blended learning or to begin to walk into blended learning prior to that point. But we also know that our district, our teachers, our parents, and our students have a need to plan. So at this point, there may be a need for us to enter blended learning prior to the end of the semester. And that would be something that we would be leaning back on, looking at Senate Bill 98, looking at some of those parameters. And that's why we will reevaluate on October 9th. Which is the end of our first quarter.
Okay. I mean, another question is the since the attendance is not waived, so the teachers need to count the attendance daily, right? So does that mean the daily attendance, the numbers still affect our funding for the next year?
So yes, we do have to do daily attendance. So our teachers will be taking daily attendance each day to make sure that our students are present in school and in class. And that attendance is recorded for the purposes of funding. So for this year's funding, it's based on last year's attendance. So it comes 1 year. So at this particular time, that is what that has been shared, is that attendance in the current year does impact our funding.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? I don't see any other questions. Thank you, Dr. Mitchell, for that. And we'll go to our next item now, which is written requests to address the board. Dr. Mitchell, are there any comments for this evening?
Yes, there are. I will turn that over to our moderator to assist us with questions. But yes, Mr. Malkin, you can read the statement because I believe that there are individuals that would like to ask questions or like to share comment.
Okay, before we get to the first comment, let me read this one statement. Please note, the public is welcome to provide comment to the board. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes, unless extended or limited by vote of the board. A maximum of 20 minutes, unless extended by the board, is allocated for each subject discussed. The Brown Act open meeting regulations under which the board must operate do not allow board members to comment on non-agenda items or information you may bring up that is not on the agenda. Additionally, no action can be taken. However, the board may give direction to staff following a comment. Do we have a number of people that are going to be talking on the same thing that we need to look at the time that we're allocating?
No, we have just two speakers, but one is by phone and we do not see that they have actually called into the meeting. So we only have one speaker at this time and it's Ms. Amy Urbian.
Thank you.
Amy, you should be, go ahead and unmute.
Hello? Yeah.
We can hear you.
Okay. Thank you.
We can hear you.
Okay. Good evening, President Malkin, Dr. Mitchell, and school board and cabinet. Tonight, I speak to you as the ARE president. For many years, I always worked summer school and had a great time teaching Gov Econ, and part of that is because I enjoyed the students and the staff. This summer was the first time in maybe 9 or 10 years, Ms. Pride might know, where I had to figure out what to do. Some of the previous ARE presidents just told me summer will give you a chance to get adjusted to your new position, get ready for new teacher orientation, and you'll learn things at the conferences you attend. Well, they were a little off target, but they have been supportive this entire time. I have learned new things at virtual conferences. I still need to get ready for a new teacher orientation. And I had to adjust quickly to being president because I had to meet with our board bargaining team since we had to negotiate a return to work MOU. First, I wanted to thank Dr. Mitchell and the cabinet for their staff presentation last Thursday, where they presented the instructional models and were able to inform our USD employees first thing that it was the recommendation of the task force that we open our schools in a virtual setting. The decision was difficult, but with the number of COVID-19 cases increasing in our community, it was the right decision ensuring the safety and health of all. Also, looking at the instructional schedules tonight, teachers are going to appreciate the flexibility they have so they can do the best job. Our teachers have asked for more training on how to improve the delivery of content and engage students on the virtual platform. Our teachers want to do well in the virtual platform, and they want to get proper training and time to implement and perfect the way they are teaching students. If we have the flexibility that we see in the schedules, you are going to get so much creativity and students will be engaged to learn, but they do need time to do this. We also need time to educate our parents on how to help their students, since they are helping us during this time and becoming our education partners. Lastly, ARE and the district bargaining teams will meet in an all-day session tomorrow. A few times I've been informed President Malkin how positive and optimistic negotiations have been as we started our bargaining, our return to work. Both teams have been working extremely hard, and we do look forward to another productive day tomorrow. Thank you again, and I look forward to working with you through this challenging school year.
Thank you, Amy, and we look forward to working with you, and congratulations on your first presentation.
Thank you.
Are there any more? Did you get the other one speaker that was waiting?
No, at this time we do not have another speaker.
Okay, we'll then move on to item 6, which is discussion items. We'll move to the discussion items on the agenda. The first one is 6A, Roland Unified School District Learning Plan for 2020-2021 school year. This item is for discussion only. There will be no action taken at this time. I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Mitchell at this time. And this is similar to what she just presented.
So. I have a whole presentation. I could share my screen. We could go through it again because it's been so fun. This item is on the agenda. I want to make sure that the board had the opportunity to dialogue. And this is based on a conversation Mr. Malkin and I had in the development of our board agenda. So as the board knows that the California Department of Public Health has issued that revised industry guidance for schools and has called for all distance learning. So as a district has been shared, we have planned and are prepared to offer all distance learning through our virtual classroom and when able, looking at our blended learning model as well as our independent study model. So there's been a team in place that obviously has been working on that. Los Angeles County, as was shared, is on the monitoring list. It does require all distance learning. I did want the board to have a conversation, make sure we have consensus from the board as we move forward to plan to open in a full virtual learning or virtual classroom distance learning format.
And Ms. Pride?
Thank you. I just had a couple of questions as you were going through the presentation earlier. One, Mr. Chin alluded to a little bit about the attendance. How are we going to deal with excessive absences? So how many will become a concern when a teacher notices that one of the students isn't logging into class and they're not present? How will that be handled?
Right, so we did cover this in a meeting with our principals on Monday or Tuesday of this week, talking about how attendance will be taken and what is the procedure for attendance, and then looking at what point is it excessive. And it's obviously a little different than in brick and mortar, but we still have the same system of being able to send letters home, call home, but those calls will be more frequent. And we have staff that is able to make those calls to check in with students. So in terms of looking at our attendance procedures, Maddie, do you want to talk a little bit more in detail regarding not how we're taking attendance, but how we're going to continue to monitor attendance, because we do have the letters that we still have SART and SARB, so school attendance review teams and school attendance review boards, as well as letters for tardies and truancies. Do you want to elaborate, Maddie?
Well, yes. So none of that has changed, and we will continue to use it to support getting our students back in school or back in class in this case. We also know that some of the Family Resource Center, community liaisons, and our social worker will be helping us with that, as well as student services. So we will use every effort that we have at our disposal that we've been using in the past, but definitely will increase the intensity with regards to the reach to the home to make sure that the student gets back to school.
Okay. And then, I'm sorry.
Part of the day in the afternoon, when our teachers do an end of the day check-in, is for that purpose, to make sure that the students not only we take attendance in the morning, but we're also checking to see that they're still engaged in the afternoon. So there's two opportunities to engage the students and make sure that they are in attendance.
Okay. My other question is in regards to the thinking ahead to the future. I know lots and lots of concerns have been based around the loss of learning, because we had to go online so quickly during the spring, and at least for fall, we've had time to prepare, and the teachers have had time to prepare. I think most parents hopefully have prepared, but when they come back, have we started to think about that yet, of what we're going to do if we notice that there is a large loss of learning amongst certain student groups? What are we going to do to try to assist them? Are we going to wait and try to do it during the summer? Or are we already thinking ahead, or are we not there yet? And it's okay if we're not there yet, I understand.
Thank you, that's a great question. So we started this summer. So we did run a virtual distance learning summer program so that we could do our best in terms of mitigating. And our teachers did a great job working with small groups of students to be at the elementary level to work on some of that learning loss and to shore some of that up. There, part of our plan, and Maddie, you can elaborate on it, has to do with at the beginning of the year, looking to see where our students are and doing some assessments. And we have assessments that are put into place throughout the year, and then have some systems in place that afternoon time in the that you saw, like in the elementary schedule where it was small group instruction, is where we see some of that taking place. I know, Maddie, you and your team have worked on this as well, and we don't have all of the answers yet. We just have a few. We have more questions than we have answers, but Maddie, do you want to elaborate on the work and the conversations you've had to date?
So like Dr. Mitchell shared, we did have summer school, and our kids were very engaged. I believe that it was definitely a step in the right direction. Obviously, it didn't remediate everything, but definitely a step in the right direction. I am currently working with my directors to figure out how to do after-school tutoring that can provide some additional support. Obviously, I think it would be better the sooner than later, so that we wouldn't have to wait for breaks to give that remedial type of support. But we are looking at how can we provide tutoring after school through some of the funding sources that we have for students that need that additional tutoring support. So working throughout the year versus waiting for next summer to happen is going to be our approach.
Okay, and Mr. Malkin, I only have two more questions. One is related to the parent support. it seems that a lot of parents are worried. They felt like they didn't do a good job in being able to support their kids in online learning. And while they do support us starting the school year online for the safety of everyone, they're concerned about their ability to be able to really help their child and know what's going on. Of course, math is always a big one that comes up, but what have we done? I know we did some parent meetings talking about what we were going to do, how we were going to open schools, but is there anything planned, any workshops planned for the parents to be able to learn, like maybe just see like what one of the classrooms looks like and how to help their child navigate it through it? Some of these parents are maybe grandparents or babysitters or whoever will be in charge of the child during that learning period will know what am I supposed to do? What is my kid supposed to be doing?
Yeah, great question. So we do have some parent trainings that are planned, and Maddie, do you want to talk about that work?
Yes, so we're going to provide parent trainings in multiple ways. We have a technology program specialist that will assist us in creating those. But we also started our conversations today with our instructional coaches around creating parent workshops that are not only about how to manage the virtual platforms and support their students in that way, but also what to expect and how to support the academics through online learning. So all of that is in the works. We can definitely provide the board with a schedule as soon as we have that all worked out, but we are planning to have ongoing parent support trainings, both on how to use the platforms that we will be using K-12 to deliver instruction, as well as continued support around the academic learning, the standards within the core areas of instruction, language arts, math, science, social studies. So we are planning to have those on an ongoing basis throughout the year.
Thank you. And the last one is kind of a statement question, is in regards to special ed students. And I know I've brought this up before, but I have a real concern about how our special ed students are going to be able to maintain success during the online learning process. In talking with a couple of parents, they stated that their children were not doing well with the online process in spring, and they're hesitant to go back to it in fall. And some of the students who need more accommodations or more assistance, what are we going to do to make sure that our special ed program maintains the status that it has in the past of being a really strong program and really helping our students to be successful throughout this online learning process?
So with regards to special education, we will definitely provide them with the services that they need through our models. But I know that Dr. Tincup and his staff will be working diligently to update individualized education plans to ensure that the students are getting the support that they need in our current reality. Definitely not it's not what we're accustomed to, you know, when you have a student that needs in special education that needs very specific support from an instructional aide, and that instructional aide is not there anymore to support the teacher as the student is receiving their education and the support outline in the IEP, it's not the same, right? So we are going to do as much as possible to get as close as we can to that commitment to provide the support outlined in the IEP. Dr. Tincup is working on a plan to make sure that we update those IEPs and that we outline how we're going to provide that support through this new reality of ours. It is a very difficult situation with our students who are in that situation. However, we are committed to providing the best that we can with what is within our control right now in this virtual classroom situation.
Thank you.
Questions, anybody else on the board?
I have a question. With so many parents out of work, are we seeing an upswing at Family Resource Center needing more resources than we've been able to provide in the past?
We did see, I wouldn't necessarily say it's an upswing with Family Resource Center. We are seeing more and more of our families come through our food distribution center. That number has been up, I would say, fairly significantly with our monthly food distribution. And remember, that didn't operate for a little while, so that it is back and operational once a month. And we did have higher numbers, the highest that we this month. There were some other unique needs that happened during the summer with our Family Resource Center, but not significant. I think we'll see that more as we get further into the fall.
With the lunches, Dr. Mitchell, I think it was just during the summer, we were offering free food to any child from anywhere. Right now, will it go back to just our children within our district being able to get their lunch and breakfast?
I'm gonna defer that to Alex for the details of that. So, because what we did in the spring is similar to what we did in the summer, and then working through to the fall. So, Alex, do you want to take that one?
Yes, it'll be required for our students during the school year. It will not be.
Okay. Thanks,
Mr. Chen.
Yeah, I have a few questions. Yeah, before the pandemic, Dr. Mitchell, you or any school district senior leaderships or the school site principals, they have a classroom visit. Sometimes you go to the classroom and join the classroom and watch the teachers teaching. And you do it once for a while. You able to do that on the virtual mode? Are you able to join into the virtual classroom and watch the classroom? How are they doing?
I was able to do so. Some teachers did invite me into their classrooms in the spring, and so I was able to join in with the lessons that were being offered. As long as I was provided all of that login information. So yes, there's been some conversations and it was fantastic to see the work that the teachers were doing and the connection with kids. Mm-hmm.
So make sure they don't feel uncomfortable. Sometimes the kids or teachers or parents, what do they feel? They okay?
When I was in the classroom, they carried on business as usual, and I did a little PE class with a class, yeah. And so we're all doing our stretching, and so it was, I didn't sense anything different. The students carried on as they normally would, and the teachers did an incredible job.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I have another few questions. Let me ask them at the same time. Number one is in August the 5th, when August 10th, when the school start, and that's the TK and the K kindergarten and the TK kids, their first day in the public school. So this year, they're very special. They don't have a classroom to go. They stay at home. So are we doing any differently for those kids of the first day in the school? And because they have the feelings very different. So how are we going to do it?
Yeah, that is a piece that's very challenging, and that is something that we are still working out. I know some of our teachers have expressed an interest of being able to connect with their students in different ways, and so we are still working out exactly how that first experience will be for our TK and K students, because it's their first experience in school.
Right. And before pandemic, the principals, sometimes they have In the morning, they have a school assembly. They can have opportunity to talk to the everyone, every students of the school. And since we're going to virtual, are they still able to do that and get everyone on the online and talk to the students online?
They are not able to do that live in a video like we are doing now, mm-hmm. due to some capacity issues, but they are able to do that. I mean, they've been sending messages home and doing phone calls and some of those types of things. But in terms of a large virtual flag ceremony that we've done in the past where the entire school is present, that is not something that we have planned at mm-hmm. this time.
Okay. And one last question. For high school labs, such as like a chemistry lab, AP chemistry lab, how are we going to meet the requirement of the AP requirement without the able to come to the lab? For example, chemistry lab. So how are we going to handle it?
So there are a couple of different ways that we're looking at that, and our teachers are clearly the content area experts and will be able to support and work with us on that. Maddie and her team with Laura Rivas, our director of secondary, are working through it. Some of it is receiving the data, so not actually doing the experiment themselves, but receiving the data and then being able to analyze the data from an experiment. Being able to, through some parts of technology, they are able to do some of those experiments through technology. But in others, in all honesty, there's not a replacement for a wet lab without being in a classroom mm-hmm. setting. So we will need to improvise and find other opportunities for students to have similar learning in a different format.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Friedman?
Mr. Chen had a great question. And so I know that, Julie, you got invited to go to see the virtual classroom, but teachers are used to principals coming in, watching the teaching and everything. Do they have the capability of watching what the teacher is doing with their students of the school, so the principal, so they will be accountable for what they're teaching, and is the principal able to see some of those lessons if they just go and check? Mm-hmm.
That is possible. Now, remember that the teacher is the one that sets up the lessons and sets up those live instruction pieces. So there is a need for the invitation to be there. But that is an interest that we have the opportunity to be able to engage and participate and support what's happening in the classroom.
So the principals need an invitation to enter to see what the teacher's teaching?
In an electronic means, that would you can't get in without a link. So it's not, there is no master key for Zoom. So you do have to have a link in order to be able to enter into that classroom.
So do we have plans that the teachers will submit their links to the principals?
That is a part of a conversation we're having.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? I just want to comment that, you know, regardless of what the governor did and what he, requested of the school districts, that right now we're in the middle of a upswing on our curve on the number of positive cases, the number of hospitalizations, the number of deaths. And I think, you know, virtual classroom is our only choice, regardless of what the governor says, just to protect our staff and to protect our students and to protect the families that are at home that are possible, you know, can get contaminated by what happens at the school. So I think that this is a choice that was made for us, but it's a choice that I think we have to support once it was made. And I'm listening to the questions that people are asking. Do we have consensus on the board that we all feel that this is the best direction right now at this moment?
Yeah.
So I'm seeing.
Yes, I do.
I'm seeing everybody shaking their head. Mm-hmm. So we have consensus that this is the best route to take right now based on the facts that we have. Okay, so any more questions? Okay, why don't we go to item 6B, which is resolution number SO2021-01, emergency resolution delegating authority to take action to ensure necessary decisions are made regarding the 2020-2021 school year due to the coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic. Can I have a motion and a second to adopt resolution SO2021-01, emergency resolution delegating authority to take action to ensure necessary decisions are made regarding the 2020-2021 school year due to the coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic.
I move.
I second. Take your pick.
Mr. Chen.
Mr. Chen seconded. Ms. Friedman made the motion. I have questions or open for discussion.
I have an item I would like the board to consider that would be a slight amendment to the resolution. On the second page where it talks about be it resolved, it states that the superintendent is delegated authority to take all appropriate actions to respond to the coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic, including but not limited to, and it lists a number of actions. If it's the pleasure of the board, I would like to amend that sentence to say that the superintendent, comma, in consultation with the board president, comma, is delegated authority to take all appropriate actions. As the board knows that I'm in constant conversation and communication with our board presidents, and I would like to make sure that that is noted if that's the pleasure of the board.
I think you should be in contact with the board. You're usually really good at notifying us all. Mm-hmm. Something that important.
Correct. Well, it's just an idea. It's a suggestion.
I think it's a good idea.
Okay. Just, I don't see why we would need that, because I know that every decision you make is in response for the students, what's needed for the staff and everybody. But that's my personal opinion. And like Lynn said, you always notify us of everything with your decisions.
Yeah, it's the pleasure of the board. It's whatever you would like.
I think that the ultimate responsibility rests with the board. And if we delegate it and we have basically withdrawn our involvement in that decision, yet we're responsible for the decision. I think if she had to contact all the board members, that'd be impossible.
It's only five.
And they can't get back in a timely manner. But usually the board president, when you're board president, you got your phone with you all the time. I know Dr. Mitchell calls me constantly and I get the phone. Or if I don't get it, my wife gets it. Mm-hmm. So the phone is part of me.
All right, let's add it.
Okay.
So we have to rescind the motion we're just discussing this, right?
It would be a discussion, and then it would be, that looking at that resolution with the included amendment to vote. And if it's the pleasure of the board, it can stay. If it's not the pleasure of the board, it can be as printed. It doesn't change the ability to do the work. It's just making sure that that there's that call that goes to the board president before something takes place.
The reason why I like adding after consultation with somebody is that we know that Dr. Mitchell is always really good about calling us. But there might be one year where we have a new superintendent in the future that isn't as good, and this covers the board.
Well, this is a resolution just for COVID-19, correct?
This oh, that's year? True.
It good is. Thinking. This is a short-term resolution for this school.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it is just for this school year.
Thanks, Donna. Year.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that I've been sitting in some other school board meetings and just to see how they've been handling the situation. And at least three of them that I sat in on, the board took a vote on going virtual in the classroom. And I thought, well, gee, that's interesting. They had to take a vote on that because they didn't have a resolution like this. But then I also thought, that might be the appropriate thing to do, because if the community, some people in the community didn't want to go virtual, then they get angry with our superintendent for making that decision, when it's the board that's really responsible for that decision. And if the community isn't happy with it, then they need to voice their concern to the board, not to the superintendent.
Well, the thing is, our superintendent has really never made a decision without contacting us. As far as these major ones, I feel like we've been very informed. But I don't know what Carrie and Angelina think.
I'm okay with either way. I'll go with the majority.
I'm okay too, yeah.
So Donna made the motion. She would have to withdraw it in order.
If she wants, we're gonna keep it how it is.
Yeah, or we're gonna keep it the way it is. I personally feel that we need to add that to assume the responsibility of our board.
Just for COVID?
No, I think that would be for any reason.
This is just for COVID.
This is just for this. But I think in the future, you know, like when we closed the schools down on March, what, 16th was it, 19th?
13th, we called it an emergency 13. Board meeting.
Yeah.
We had an emergency board meeting.
And the board made the decision. But technically, Dr. Mitchell could have closed the schools down without having that emergency board meeting.
But we gave her that day, I forgot what it was called, but something to make these decisions in the future for us.
Right, on the previous
emergency basis. Because of COVID-19, it's like sometimes she has to make some decisions that are
right
away.
So I personally feel that we needed to assume the responsibility for the actions that are taken. So we have Angelina that can go either way, Carrie that can go either way.
So I have to interject. We have a motion on the floor. And right. So rather than we can't poll, so we need to either have Donna amend her motion or have it go forward for vote and then see the direction the board chooses to go. Sorry about that, Mr. Malkin.
Yeah, well, so I'm just summarizing what we have right now to see whether or not Donna wants to amend it or she wants to take a vote on it.
And I would rather not rescind it and take a vote. I'm sorry, David. I don't know what I'm trying to get everyone else's opinion.
Okay. I call for the question.
Lynn, how do you feel?
Well, I said I call for the question. Let's vote on it.
Okay, let's vote on it. Donna, Ms. Friedman?
Yes, aye.
Mr. Chen?
Aye.
Ms. Ebbingham?
Yes.
Ms. Pride?
Aye.
And I have a no vote. So it passes 4-1.
So for clarification, that vote was to approve it as presented, no amendment.
Correct.
Thank you.
Item 6C, contract agreement between Roland Unified School District and Keenan and Associates, Southern California Relief for Property and Liability Claims. Can I have a motion and a second to ratify the contract agreement between the Roland Unified School District and Keenan and Associates, Southern California Relief for Property and Liability Claims?
I move.
I'll second.
Yeah, are there any questions or discussion? Okay, I'll take a roll call. Ms. Friedman?
Aye.
Mr. Chen?
Aye.
Ms. Ebbingham?
Yes.
Ms. Pride?
Aye.
And I have an aye also, so it carries unanimously. We now move to the consent calendar. Next is the consent calendar. We will approve all the items in the consent with the exception of any items that were pulled for separate discussion and action. And there was none that were pulled previously. So can I have a motion in a second?
I'll move.
A second.
Hey, Ms. Friedman?
Aye.
Mr. Chen?
Aye.
Ms. Ebbingham?
Aye.
Ms. Pai?
Aye.
Aye for me, so the motion carries unanimously for the consent calendar. We will now receive comments from the board, and we'll start this time with Mr. Chen.
We just had the little debating for how we are going to authorize the emergency decision making to the superintendent. No matter what, I think it shows the trust between the board and the superintendent. I'm glad that we authorized the superintendent can make her decision on behalf of the board in the emergency situation like this. So anything happen, the we can respond quickly. And compared to other districts that I have learned from them, they couldn't make a decision right away, and they had to call the board and had the long discussion. So I'm glad we have a full trust between the board and the superintendent. Thank you, Dr. Mitchell. Did a good job. Yeah. And on May 28, and if we remember, there was a large group of people came to the our board meeting and they spoke about the project room key and asked the district to get involved the county project room key. They asked it for the district step in and step in and protect the kids. School district. The reason is the hotel they converted to the homeless shelter. The location is very close to our school, and the kids of the school is under. Is on high risk of the COVID-19. So they asked for the test of the residents in the hotel. And a couple of days ago, I received the a report from the county. They have done the COVID-19 test to the entire residents and the staff. On that hotel, on that Quality Inn hotel, and they do found one COVID-19 positive, one staff. And that's good news or bad news? Good news is there's one of them has a COVID-19 positive, and the good news is that we can stop it and put it in quarantine and that it won't spread out. And because of the parents, they came to the meeting and asked our step in. And I learned the next day, Dr. Mitchell contact the county office. And since then, the county office take it seriously and keep contacting us and start arranging the testing. So I can imagine if we don't use our influence, the county won't make the test, and there's have a positive staff in the hotel. Then I can't imagine how is it going to be, and it will spread to other residents, and will spread it to the community. So I think the school, our district, Dr. Mitchell. Value the parents' opinion and follow up and take immediate action. It does work and it does stop the possible the COVID-19 spreading in our community. So the parents and the community asked me to pass the appreciation to the district. Say thank you to the district, and thank you, Dr. Mitchell, for taking immediate action. Yeah. And as I said during the meeting, the August 10th is the first day of the school, and especially is the first day of the kindergarten and the TK kids, the first day in the public school education. Special day for those kids, but it is especially very special for them because they can't come to the school, they have to do it online for the little kids. And I want to say they have best wishes and successful learning in our district from the first day, August 10, 2020, started the online learning and online technology learning. So this is very, very special for those kids. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chen. Ms. Evenkamp?
Thank you. The staff was pretty anxious about how our schools were going to start, and I appreciated Dr. Mitchell having the meeting for all our teachers, classified employees, and leadership in the district. According to the California School Board Association, California has one million laptops and hotspots short for kids as it prepares for online school classes this fall. Thankfully, our district understood that a rainy day reserve was necessary for this situation and many other reasons. So for our students, they are ready to engage in distant learning. Thankfully, they have access to the technology needed. Our district has worked continuously to make this happen for our students and staff, and we're not in the same adverse situation as many other school districts find themselves. We are currently on target. The school board, Superintendent Mitchell, Mr. Flores, and the admin services team have been preparing all along to have the appropriate funds and supplies available for technology and other needs. In addition, cleaning materials, sanitizing equipment, and staff are ready for our schools and departments to be safely cleaned. The state is talking about borrowing money, so schools can also borrow money to have funds on hand for their needs, should they be short. Here's a taste of what decisions the California State Legislature has made. The state took out a payday loan and borrowed $12.5 billion, $11 billion of that for K through 12 schools, for education 2021 through 22 paycheck. As I see it, they're spending future money now. Deferrals mean school districts will get paid retroactively in the summer and fall after the school year is over, instead of getting paid monthly in the spring of 2021. These deferrals create cash flow problems and fall disproportionately upon districts that rely more heavily on the state for their funding and tend to serve lower income students. Those districts will need to borrow money in order to meet payroll and purchase needed equipment and materials and provide services. Many are laying off employees as well. We did our best to plan ahead, and hopefully this will be keeping us out of situations like those mentioned, but there are no promises. We take this very seriously, and as a member of the Board of Education, I am grateful that we have been planning ahead, and now we're here. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ebbingham. Ms. Pride?
Very short today. First, I just want to say thank you to all of the teachers that taught summer school this year. I know that after having such a rough spring semester at the end there, that a lot of people just wanted to take a time out, but I'm thankful that all of you didn't and that you did move forward with your plans to teach summer school. And some of you may have not even had plans and taught summer school. Our students are definitely going to need that learning. So thank you for taking the time out away from your family and your plans to do that. It was appreciated. I also want to thank the team that's working to make sure that fall opens as smoothly as possible with the online learning. And thank you to all of the additional staff that aren't located at the schools, but those at the district offices, those at food services, transportation, et cetera, all the other people behind the scenes who are also taking care of items to make sure that school starts on time and runs as smoothly as possible for our students. We know that there's still going to be bumps in the road this fall semester, even though we've had more time to plan and prepare than what we did for the online for spring. But if we all just work together and keep the lines of communication and respect open, we can all get through this. So thank you guys. Enjoy your last weekend for some of you, last week maybe for some of the others of you, before you return to full-fledged working and preparing for the opening day. And I wish all of you guys a good luck on that. And thank you again.
Thank you, Ms. Pride. Ms. Friedman?
This is the first time in over 4.5 years that I did not attend an event. so I won't have a long list of places to go to or things that I was able to attend. But I really want to say something about there were over 2,500 parents that attended all of those virtual meetings to talk about the school year that Dr. Mitchell, cabinet and staff that helped put those together, all that great information that all those parents found out. I know it's a lot of work, but very worth it. And also the great presentation today about how the school year will look was wonderful. Just a quick thank you for everybody that's having the school start that had a part in it. It's so hard during this time. It's very difficult, million challenges, and yet we're gonna be able to start, and I hope everything goes wonderful. Also, so many people made it possible, but that every student will have a device and we're working on hotspots, which is wonderful. I just wanna wish everyone a great school year. And even under the circumstances, hopefully it will turn out wonderful, I'm sure, because we're in good hands. Thank you, everybody, for all your hard work. That's all.
That was good. Thank you, Ms. Regan. I guess I'm last now. One thing that I've learned these past few weeks is to be ready for the unexpected. And I guess tonight was one of those with the resolution where we had a disagreement. And I don't see that as a weakness amongst us as a board. I see that the difference of opinions are a positive, that I feel that we grow as a result of that, and that as and that we make better decisions by hearing different sides of the issue. I do wanted to say one thing. Mr. Chen said that the board has faith in our superintendent by voting for the resolution. And I just want to make it clear that I also have faith in our superintendent. Just because I voted no does not mean I've lost faith in our superintendent. And I hate to have that be rumored out that Mr. Malkin voted no because he didn't believe in the superintendent. So I just want to correct that, that I have ultimate faith in our superintendent. Just when I think I know that my schedule for the day, I find that I have numerous unplanned virtual meetings. Recently, I Zoomed with Dr. Mitchell, Microsoft Teams, with Supervisor Hahn's representatives, Zoomed a Kiwanis meeting, Facebooked a virtual board meeting with LA Unified and Hacienda La Puente Unified School District, and watched live on YouTube the Welcome Back for Walnut Valley Unified Parents, and the list goes on. I've been sitting in front of this computer many hours this past few weeks. Then there was the phone testimony that I had for the LA County Board of Supervisors meeting this last Tuesday. Added to this list, there was the virtual doctor appointments, which I'm still getting used to. 3 months ago, I did not know what a virtual meeting was. Now I cannot live without them. Do I complain? No, because during that same period of time, I lost three friends and one to the COVID-19 that I had known since high school. Yes, we have bumps in the road adapting to the new normal, but we learn from our challenges and we grow. And more importantly, we get to be home with our families afterwards. This evening, we made the right decision to support distant learning so other staff and teachers can continue to go home to their families in the evening and our students will remain safe. Virtual meetings and teaching is a small price to pay for one's health and safety, which will always be my primary focus in all decisions that I make. And on that, can I have a motion for adjournment of our regular board meeting for the Rolling Unified School District?
I'll move.
Second.
We have a move and a second. Ms. Friedman?
Aye.
Mr. Chen?
Aye.
Ms. Ebbenkamp? Ms. Ebbenkamp, you're muted.
Mute.
Unmute?
Yes.
And Ms. Pride?
Aye.
And I have an aye too. So the meeting stands adjourned at 7:31. Thank you all. And see you next week.
Great job, David. Thank you.
Good job, David.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Good night.
Everyone stay safe.
You too, Perry.